God said to you, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, everyone who knocks on my door, it shall be opened to you, and I will invite you in, and we will fellowship together, we will commune together, we will share things together, because I love you so much. So come in. Come into where I am. Come before my throne and obtain mercy and find grace when you need it. It's available for you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
And turn to the book of Romans, chapter 8. And you know, our God is amazing at how he wants to be involved in your life. You know, God will be involved in your life as much as you want him to be. Amen. What do I mean by that? He never pushes his way or forces his way into anybody's life. And he only comes by invitation. All right? And he is willing to lead, guide, and direct you into all of his blessings and all of his goodness. And he has equipped you with the best guidance system ever created. That is his Holy Spirit that he places within us. And we want to develop the ability to hear his voice and to be led by his Spirit. You know, it is so important, especially in the days that we're living in. We need to be led by God's Spirit. We need to allow him to lead God and direct us in life. And if you look at Romans 8, verse 14, he says it right here. He says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So that tells me that we have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. Amen? Now, if someone's leading you, that means you're following. All right? And there's so many other, there's so many voices in this world that we could follow. But there's only one voice that's going to lead you to life and peace, and that is the voice of God's Spirit. God has a voice, and we have to become acclimated to his voice. We need to be able to pick out his voice above every other voice, because his voice is the only voice that will bring you into all truth. Amen. He is in favor of truth. All right? So we're looking at how we can be led by God's Spirit. And we're going to look at some examples in just a few minutes. But I want you to go down to verse 10. In Romans 8, verse 10, the Bible says this, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, I shared this with the men yesterday. How many know that in a manufacturing plant, when they want to introduce a new product or a new product line, they might have to introduce new equipment, right? It's called retooling. And they take some time to set up the line that's going to produce this new product, okay? Now, here's the good news. God takes us up through a retooling process. And when we accept Jesus as our Savior, we get equipped with the Holy Spirit in us, and we go through a retooling process because now our life needs to produce a new product. Our life needs to reflect the image of God. Our life needs to show the life of Christ and the love of Christ. And in order to do that, see, when you introduce a new product line, you're going to have to train the employees on how to operate the machinery. Now, guess what? God trains us on how to live the Christ-like life through the Holy Spirit. And we go through a retooling process. And prior to coming to Christ, we lived our lives outside in. We lived our lives with the external leading, guiding, and directing us. But when Christ comes into your life, you got to switch that. You got to live inside out. I'll never forget this one outfit that I bought at the store. It was a pair of jeans and a denim shirt, and they were made on purpose inside out. And I used to wear those clothes because it was different. It was unique. You know, and people would look at your shirts inside out. I said, yes, I know. It was made that way. And guess what? You were made to live your life inside out. But in order to do that, you're going to have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct you. You're going to have to take time. When you're faced with decisions in life and choices that you got to make, you've got to take time and you've got to zero in on what the Holy Spirit is saying. Because the devil is a deceiver, but the Holy Spirit can't be deceived. And he'll help you. He'll bring you into all truth. So he says the Spirit, when the Spirit of God comes in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. God, the Holy Spirit, always leads you in righteousness. He always leads you on a right path. He always leads you on a pure path because that's who He is. He leads us in righteousness. And He leads you in doing what is right in God's sight. How many know that what's right in God's sight is different than what's right in the world's sight? The world has different standards than God has. And we've got to choose to live this life according to God's standards. So Christ puts His Spirit in, He puts your Spirit in charge of you when He moves in. In other words, when Christ moved in, you became born again. The Bible calls you a new creature. Say, I'm a new creature, and I have a new feature. So when Christ comes in, you become a new creature. Now, let me ask you this question. When Christ came into your life, did your hair color change? Did your eye color change? Did your height change? Did your weight change? Nothing changed outside, but something certainly changed inside. You were given the very nature and life of God on the inside of you. Now, right now, we walk around as one-third new creatures. Why do I say that? Because our spirit is only one-third, then our soul has to be renewed, right? We got to renew the mind, and our body has to be subdued, doesn't it? So we're walking around, but here's the good news. When Jesus comes again, we're going to be three-thirds. And when you have three-thirds, you have one, you become whole. And we're going to get a glorified body when Jesus comes again. Right now, He's just giving us a down payment, the Holy Spirit. But when He comes again, we're getting the total package. Oh, that's going to be a day. And just in the twinkling of an eye, God's going to change us so quickly. Hallelujah. Go with me to Romans chapter 14, and we'll come back to Romans 8, but I want you to see something in Romans 14, verse 17. Have you ever thought of what ingredients make up the kingdom of God? If you were going to make a kingdom of God cake, you got to be sure to have these three ingredients. Notice what he says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. What does meat and drink affect? It affects the body, the outward man. But notice, that's not what the kingdom of God consists of. He says, the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Woo! I've been made right with God. I have peace with God, and I have joy in the Holy Ghost. How many know that the Holy Spirit is the joy giver? And he gives you joy unspeakable. He gives you so much joy that you can't even put it into words. All you can do is express it. And that normally comes with laughter or rejoicing. But the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not what you do in the external, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy. Those are all internal things. Those are all eternal things. Okay? And the Holy Spirit will help you. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. When the Holy Spirit comes into your life, and he comes in when you get born again, and he brings his power when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. But I want you to notice that when Christ comes in your life, that's the moment you stop living for yourself. That's the moment where you tell self to take a back seat and you put Christ in the driver's seat. You don't live for yourself. You don't live to please yourself. But now you're living for something greater. You don't live for yourself, but you live for him. I want to live for Christ. The Apostle Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. He said, it is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives within me. And he said, the life that I now live, I live by the faith in the Son of God. And you know, Paul lived a Spirit-filled life. When he came to Christ, he allowed the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct him. I did not sit down one day and say in my mind, I want to be a pastor. Why? Because being a pastor, being a minister, being anything for God is not something that you sit down and think about. It's something that God calls you to. I was open. I left my options open. I told God this. I said, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to be, I'll be. Because at that time, I didn't know what God wanted. But I was seeking his will, and I learned to listen to his voice. And his voice, I can't tell you the countless times how his voice has delivered me from danger. How his voice has led me to blessing. How his voice has brought me to eliminate wrong relationships in my life. It's so important to develop the skill of being led by the Spirit of God. Every time I preach, I always ask God, I say, God, what do you want to say to the people? I mean, I could say a lot of things, but my words aren't going to amount to a hill of beans. But if I say his words, now he backs up his words with his power. And God wants to lead, guide, and direct you in everyday life. Now go back to Romans 8. This chapter contains key ingredients for how you can develop being led by the Holy Spirit. It mentions the word Spirit over 20 times just in this one chapter. You think if God's saying something over 20 times that he wants us to get a hold of something? Romans chapter 8. Let's go down to verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. How many know that the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you? Okay? Then this is good news. He says if, but that he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Did you know that you have a quickener on the inside of you? What's a quickener? It's someone who brings life. To quicken means to bring life. How many's ever cut their finger? Show me that cut now. What happened to the cut? How did the cut close up? Unless you cut it today. Unless you didn't do anything with it and just left it open and infected. How many know that when you cut your hand or you cut your finger, there's life on the inside of you and your body was made to heal? Now here's the good news. When you encounter sickness, in sickness, sickness is an unwanted, unwelcome guest. What happens is when sickness enters our body, the healer quickens the healing process with his life and his power, and he causes the sickness that has come in. How come good people get sick? How come good people die, go to hell? Listen, sickness is in the world that we live in. But there's a healer that's also in the world that we live in. And everything that the devil tried to do, Jesus counteracted and whooped him. So if you know that the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead, he shall quicken your mortal body. When you need a quickening, when you need to be made alive, you've got a life giver on the inside of you. You've got a life generator on the inside of you. But here's where being led comes in. The strategy that he causes the life to come to you may vary from situation to situation. Do you know, before every battle David went into, I'm going to say most battles, he didn't do it all the time, but every battle that he inquired of the Lord, before he fought, he would say, shall I go against him and will I win? And God would give him a divine strategy. And the strategy was different for every enemy. How many know different enemies need different strategies? You just can't do what you did before. You got to be led by the Holy Spirit because he knows exactly what needs to be done now. Whoo! Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Aren't you glad that you don't owe your flesh anything? You're not a debtor to the flesh. But you do owe the Spirit because he's the life giver. What do you owe the Spirit? You owe him your attention. You owe him your honor. You owe him your listening ear. You owe him your respect. How many know? The Holy Spirit's a person. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Well, that tells me that he could be grieved. If you read Hebrews chapter 3, the Bible says God was grieved with the generation that rebelled against him in the wilderness. He called them stiff-necked. Say, God gets irritated. He does. But if you're led by the Spirit of God, you won't irritate God. You'll please God. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. You are not obligated to the flesh, because as far as the Bible's concerned, when Christ came in, the flesh is dead. Well, if the flesh is dead, how come I still got to deal with it? God gives you the tools to deal with the flesh. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he said, I keep my body under. The I is not his body. He said, when I fight, I don't beat the air aimlessly. In other words, he didn't do anything without purpose. But he says, I keep my body under and bring it into subjection. How many know that our bodies need to be kept under? And our bodies are like a buoy. You put them down, they pop up. You put them down, they pop up. You got to do it every day. It's a daily thing. Every day that you wake up, you got to make a choice. I'm going to obey the Spirit, and I'm not going to owe my flesh. We like to pamper our flesh. We like to create nice atmospheres for our flesh. We don't like to stir up too many things for our flesh. But we got to be led by the Spirit of God. Let's go down to verse 15. This is good news. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Did you know that the Holy Spirit doesn't use fear in teaching you? He uses faith. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You've been taken out of bondage and fear has been removed. How do I know? Because Paul told Timothy, he said, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but one of power and love and a sound mind. Say, I have a spirit of power. I have a spirit of love. And I have a sound mind. Praise God. Slavery, bondage, condemnation, and fear are not ways that God leads you. Those are not tools that God teaches you with. Those are not teachers in God's education system. He does not use bondage, condemnation, fear to teach you anything. He doesn't even have those tools in his toolbox. He uses his word. See, and then he says, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. When you cry, Abba, Father, what you're saying is, Daddy. Daddy, God, you've received a spirit of adoption. And guess what? Adoption is just as much as important as being born into the family. You have the same rights, the same privileges, the same benefits, the same name. Doesn't matter if you're born there or you're adopted there, you're treated equally. And you've been given a spirit of adoption where you can crawl up into Daddy's lap and you can say, Daddy God, and you can just love on Daddy, and you can just let Daddy love on you, and you can let Daddy pick you up when you fall down. You can let Daddy blow on your knee when you bruise it or when you scrape it. We have a Daddy God. He's the best father to anybody. And because we have the spirit of adoption, when you have a spirit of adoption, you can approach Daddy God. You've been given access to his very throne room. He draws you into himself. These things are going to help you be led by the Holy Spirit. Then verse 16, he says, the spirit, now King James missed it. He said itself. The Holy Spirit is not a it. He's not cousin it from the Adams family. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We have a space program in our country called NASA. And NASA puts things in space. They put satellites in space. How do the engineers know if the satellite is in the right place or where it should be? It sends back a signal. Houston Control. We have liftoff, then the satellite is released, and if that satellite's in the right place, doot, doot, You know, it sends a signal like sonar. Doo, doo, doo. And we have a spirit who bears witness with our spirits. The Holy Spirit, he witnesses, he testifies, he bears witness with your spirit that you are a God's child. You don't have to wonder if you're God's child. You will receive a signal from heaven telling you, you're my child, you're mine, and I love you. Amen. You know, yesterday I shared with the men about Daniel. And if you read Daniel chapter 9, verse 23, the angel appeared to Daniel and told him that you are beloved. How'd you like an angel to come into your presence and to tell you what God thinks about you? That you're beloved, you are loved. I'm telling you, God's sending that message to each and every one of his children. Question is, are you hearing it? Or you're hearing the voices that told you that you were no good. You're hearing the negative voices that spoke to your life. Let me tell you something. You got to choose to deny the negative and accept the positive. For the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. You have a direct line of communication. How many remember the TV show Batman? Whenever Commissioner Gordon needed to get a hold of Batman, he'd pick up a red phone. It was called the Bat Phone. And that Bat Phone allowed him to communicate. I was a big fan of Batman. I loved it when they got in the fights. Pow, sock, bam, you know. And Commissioner Gordon, he could pick up a phone and that would ring in Batman's study. But it was a direct line of communication. He didn't have to dial a number. All he had to do was pick up a phone and Batman would be on the other end. Let me tell you something. Because the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit, you don't have to remember a number. You don't have to remember a passcode. You can talk directly to God because you have a spiritual connection. You have a divine connection with your Father and he can speak directly to you. You don't need a prophet to give you direction. You need a prophet to confirm the direction that's already been given. Too many people are looking for a prophet to give them direction, and they're not listening to the voice of the Spirit. Too many people are looking to this or to that or to the other. They're not looking to God. They're not listening to his voice. How do I know that? Because of the results that are produced. If it doesn't produce life and peace, the Holy Spirit wasn't leading you. He leads you to life. He leads you in peace. He leads you to God. He leads you into the truth. He doesn't lead you to lies. But we have a direct line of communication. Each one of us are equipped with a GPS. God's personal system. And when you're lost, you'll hear a voice saying, turn left, go to VCF, come and hear the word of God. You realize over the past 5 or 7 years, I had about 3 people. One guy was working a construction site nearby. He doesn't even live in this area, but he said, I was driving by your church and I felt compelled that I had to come in. Would you pray for me? He was hearing a voice. And maybe he didn't understand all about that voice, but he knew something was leading and guiding and directing him to life and to truth and to blessing. He bears witness with our spirit. Verse 17. Now this really gets me excited. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer him, that we may also be glorified together. He bears witness with your spirit that you're children of God, and if you know that you're a child, you got to know that you're an heir. You got to know that you're part of God's will. He wrote a testament, and he put your name on it. We're heirs. We're joint heirs. What's a joint heir? Whatever Jesus gets, we get. Whatever God does for Jesus, he'll do for you. Why? Because we have the same connection. The same spirit that bears witness with our spirit. Did you know that there are different levels in God? Notice this. You could be a child, you could be an heir, and you could be a joint heir. Which level are you on? People who come into the kingdom, they're children, but they have to be taught. And the more you learn about God, the more you discover about being a joint heir. So you're a child, you're an heir, and you're a joint heir. I want to have all three levels. Amen? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now I want you to go with me to the book of Acts. I want you to go with me to Acts chapter 1. We're going to see some practical application of how the Holy Spirit led people. Did you know that the people in Acts are just like you and I? How many believe that the people in Acts are just like you and I? Now, if God can lead the people in Acts, can he lead us? Because we're just like them. We have the same connection, the same spirit. Do you have the same spirit of faith? That whatever is written, you believe and you speak? Acts chapter 1 and verse 5. Did you know that the last greatest gift that Jesus gave us before he left this earth was his Holy Spirit? He so desired that his people have what he has. Okay? Verse 5, he says, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now." Whoo! So just like people were baptized with water, they were immersed in water, God wants to immerse you in holy fire. You ever been immersed in holy fire? One time, I was in a meeting in Jackson, Mississippi. And in that meeting, I did everything from running to shaking to crying to laughing and to falling on the floor. I covered the gamut. And that was about a 2,000-seat sanctuary. And if you ever have the Holy Spirit come on you to run in a 2,000-seat sanctuary, whoo, it's exhilarating. I took 2 laps around that sanctuary, full speed. But Jesus is telling us here that he wanted his disciples to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And it was just like John's baptism in the sense that they were immersed in water, but God wants to immerse us in holy fire. Okay? And go to chapter 2. And let's go down to verses 33. "Therefore," this is in the midst of Peter's message, "being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear." I want you to underline those two words, see and hear. The Holy Spirit did things that people could see, and he said things that people could hear. So not the Holy Spirit, he leads you auditory and he leads you visually. He can show you something that you didn't see before or you didn't know before, or he could speak to you something that you never heard before. And Peter was encouraging the people. He said, "We have received the promise of God, the Holy Spirit, that he has shed forth this which you now see and hear." So there was things that people saw, there were things that people heard, but it was the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Let's go to chapter 4. chapter 4. And let's look at verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel. So I want you to see something. What was Peter? He was what? He was filled with the Holy Ghost. And as a result of being filled with the Holy Ghost, what did he do? How did he speak? He spoke boldly. So when the Holy Spirit, when he leads you, when he works in you, it's going to come out boldly. How many know if you want to be a champion, you got to speak like a champion? If you want to be a victim, you speak like a victim. Isn't that right? And when the Holy Spirit leads God's, was Peter led by the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. You know, the Bible says he was filled. I mean, he was so full that, you know, like a sponge, when you have a dry sponge and you put it in water, the sponge soaks up the water, right? But when you squeeze the sponge now, what comes out? See, God wants you so full that when he just puts his hand on you to gently touch you, you just ooze out the Holy Spirit. And it's going to come out boldly. Okay? So the Holy Spirit is, he brings out boldness. All right, go to chapter 5. Chapter 5. Now, the Holy Spirit is the spirit of what? Truth, okay? So if he's the spirit of truth, do you think that he's going to let lies pass him by? No, he's going to expose lies, okay? Look at verse 3. Ananias gave an offering that he misrepresented, okay? He misrepresented it on purpose. He was trying to show the people that him and his wife were good people, but how many know you don't play games with the Holy Spirit? Look at verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? So how the Holy Spirit leads you, he'll expose lies that you come in contact with. Lies can bind you, but truth frees you. And Peter didn't know that what Ananias was doing was wrong, but the Holy Spirit knew. And he brought it to Peter's attention. And Peter spoke it out boldly because he was led by the Holy Spirit. What I'm doing is I'm just encouraging you that the Holy Spirit leads you in everyday life. He just doesn't lead you in church things. I've got my church life and my other life. No. Your church life and your other life better be one and the same. Otherwise, you're called a hypocrite. But, you know, the book of Acts is really the acts of the Holy Spirit working through the church. Now, you know, people were just putting money in the offering, but there was something about this offering that was revealed to Peter that he didn't know because the Holy Spirit led him. And it was a strong corrective word. You never want to mess with your offerings or your tithes, I'm telling you. You never want to, those things are holy to God. Amen. But I'm just pointing out that the Holy Spirit exposed the lie because he's the spirit of truth. He'll always bring you into all truth. He'll bring people around you into all truth. When the Holy Spirit's working, there's just a narrow way to walk. Really, the Bible says wide is the road that leads to destruction, but narrow is the road that leads to life. God expects us to walk a narrow, straight path. And He gives us his Holy Spirit so that we stay on the path. Because to the right or to the left of that path are ditches. And he wants you to avoid the ditch on either side. So he wants you to keep you in the middle of the road. He'll tell you when a turn is coming up. Please turn left in half a mile. Just like the GPS in your vehicles, the Holy Spirit has a voice, and he'll lead, guide, and direct you. Let's go down to verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Who was doing the signs and the wonders? It was the Holy Spirit. I like that. Many signs. Everybody hold up your hands for a minute. Say, these are holy hands. These are miracle-working hands. These are sign-performing hands. And if you want miracle signs and wonders, be led by the Holy Spirit. All right, you can put your hands down. I like that everybody was surrendering. We had a kumbaya moment. Many signs and wonders were done. See, the Holy Spirit, what did he say in Acts 1:8? After the Holy Spirit comes on you, what are you going to receive? Power. Dunamis, power. So you get a power generator on the inside of you called the Holy Spirit. And he'll generate power through you. You know, the Bible says that you believers, you can lay hands on the sick, and that what's going to happen? You know, the Bible didn't say pray. He just said lay your hands on the sick. Nelson's not sick. But I'm just demonstrating that you as a believer, why? You have the same spirit. You have the same connection. God wants to do the same things through Jesus that he wants to do the same things through you that he did through Jesus. If you encounter someone in your daily routine that's sick, all you got to say is, would it be okay if I pray for you? And if they say yes, just say, be healed in Jesus' name. You don't have to make a big thing of it. I did this in the bank all the time. I did it in the diesel mechanic shop. I worked for a Freightliner dealership for 2 years. I wasn't a mechanic by any means. I was the service writer. But when some of the technicians, when they would get sick, I'd go ask them. I'd say, do you mind if I prayed for you? They would say, no. I'd take just a couple seconds and just pray for them, and that'd be it. You let God do the rest. I mean, God can give you the opportunity, but if you don't take it, God wants to work through you. He wants to lead God and direct you. You have a part in his kingdom. You have a part in God's family. You are an ambassador. All of us are ambassadors of Christ. We're here to represent Christ to the world. And the best way that we can represent Christ is to let the Holy Spirit lead God and direct you. I'm just trying to help develop your skill to become sensitive to his voice. Go to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit did a work this morning. Because I left my other notes on my other computer at home. And I'm a note person. I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I don't have my notes. But you got the Holy Spirit. And I said so many things that weren't even in my notes. Why? Because God knew that there was going to be some people here that needed to hear it. Listen, we can't neglect hearing God's voice today. The Bible says that we're living in perilous times. And if you don't know we're living in perilous times, you better take another look. We're living in perilous times. Well, how are you going to avoid the perils? You're going to have to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. How do you know his voice? You develop a relationship with him. You pray, you worship God, you read his word. The Holy Spirit speaks the language of the Bible. What better way to know about the book than have a conversation with the author? Say, when you wrote this, what did you really mean? What were you trying to convey? He knows because he wrote the book. He will never lead you apart or away from this book. He will never lead you away from church. He'll always lead you to church. Because Jesus is the head of the church. And Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God the Father, they all work together for the same goal. Praise the Lord. Where are we at? Acts chapter 6. Listen to this. They were having some problems. The church was growing so fast that they couldn't keep up with it. That's a good problem. And some people were being neglected. Pastor, we're being neglected. Notice what happens in verse 3 of Acts chapter 6. Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. Do you realize that a spirit-led person possesses certain qualities that you could pick out, that you could look for? I want you to notice, who did the apostles tell to choose the people? They told the people to choose the people. Would you be able to identify someone who's led by God's Spirit? They possess certain qualities. They have a knowledge of the Word. They have a demonstration of His power. They have a wisdom about them. You know, they have a way that they live, a way that they talk, a way that they do things. I mean, just a little side note, Daniel would not stop praying for anything. That man knew how to pray. Even when there was a law made that said you can't pray for the next 30 days to anyone other than the king, before the ink was dry, Daniel was in his house praying with the windows open 3 times that day. Why? Daniel took his knowledge of God and he lived it out in his life. And that's what God wants of each and every one of us. So the people had to choose out people with these certain qualities or certain characteristics. And verse 5, they chose Stephen, a man full of faith. If you're going to be led by the Holy Spirit, it's going to have to be by faith. So can you identify faith? Can you identify when people are operating in faith? And of the Holy Ghost and Philip. Okay? And they set them before the apostles, verse 6, and when they prayed, they laid hands on them. And what happened in verse 7? The word of God increased. And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And look at verse 8. Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Wasn't he one who was full of the Holy Spirit? Well, he was waiting tables. And he would say, would you like some more coffee? Yeah. Would you like a healing with that? Yeah. Okay. Bam. Would you like a little joy with your coffee? Yes. Bam. Do you mean that someone who's led by the Holy Spirit, if you're waiting tables, you can do it supernaturally? Amen. They tried to argue against Stephen in Acts 7. There was a group, they couldn't even argue against him because of the Spirit by which he spoke. How many know when you're led by the Spirit, the devil can't come up with enough ideas for an argument to even argue against you? We've got to be people who are led by God's Spirit. We have got to follow the voice of the Holy Spirit. Every one of us are capable of doing it. Every one of us are able to do it. We just got to do it. Go with me to Acts chapter 9. I'm going to finish with this one. And let's go down to verse 10. Acts 9:10. And there was a certain disciple. I want you to notice he wasn't an apostle. He wasn't an evangelist. He wasn't a pastor. He wasn't a teacher. He was a disciple. Say, it sounds just like me. Okay? And his name was Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here. When someone says, I am here, that reveals a willing heart that you're ready to do whatever God speaks. Okay? He was in tune with God. Now, I want you to notice, yes, this was a vision. Yes, the Lord appeared to him, but the Lord used his voice, didn't he? The Lord was speaking to him. Ananias and God were having a dialogue. That's how you be led by the Holy Spirit. Okay? And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the street which is called Straight. Wouldn't you like to live on Straight Street? And inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prays. Isn't it interesting how God knew exactly where he was and exactly what he was doing? Okay? And Ananias and God are having this conversation. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. And then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to the saints at Jerusalem. How many know that God can handle your objections? See, I want you to know, God was perfectly comfortable having a conversation with Ananias. God spoke, Ananias spoke, and there was a dialogue taking place. God wanted Ananias to do something. Ananias wanted to make sure what God wanted him to do. And the Lord said unto him, go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way. So here we have an example of someone who was led by the Holy Spirit. God comes to him, he talks to him. I want you to go here. I want you to do this. Here I am. Okay. So he goes. Now he has some objections about this person, but the word of God overrides his objections. Come on, can you say amen? Amen. If you have some objections about something, let the word of God be the final authority. All right? Let the word override your objections. So he goes in and he entered into the house, putting his hands on him, just as God said. I'm going to use less now for my, you're fine, just sit there. And he puts his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto you in the way, has sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes that had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith, and he arose and was baptized. Can you see how the leading of the Holy Spirit, you see how easy that is? Whether God uses a vision, whether he uses a voice, you know, God was trying to get Elijah's attention. Elijah was having a little pity party because he received a letter from Jezebel that said, I'm going to kill you. And she had a reputation that she did kill people. But if she was really serious, she would have sent an assassin, not just a postman. Unless he's a crazy postman. No. I don't know. So he gets this letter, and he's intimidated by this letter. And he goes and he runs in the opposite direction that God wanted him to go. Because when he's sitting in the cave, God says, Elijah, why are you here? That was not where he was supposed to be. And so God does a series of demonstrations. There's a tornado. God wasn't in the tornado. There was a fire. God wasn't in the fire. There was an earthquake. God wasn't in the earthquake. So where was God? He was in a still, small voice. That still, small voice was speaking to Elijah's heart. And that still, small voice said, go anoint Elisha as prophet in your stead. So Ananias went in, laid his hands on Paul, just like God said. He was able to be led by the Holy Spirit. God wants to lead you. I mean, I can't get that across enough. God wants to, he wants to lead you and guide you. He wants you to connect with the future that he has planned for you. If you want to connect with God's plans, it's going to require your ears and your heart working together to receive what he wants you to have. So, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They are the daughters of God. God wants to lead, God, and direct you today. He'll bring you into all truth. He'll bring you into life and peace. He'll bring you into strength. He'll bring you into righteousness because he loves you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you today and we give you thanks and praise that we are your children. We have a part in your plan. We have a position in your family. And Lord, there's great things that you want us to do today in the name of Jesus. And I feel like there are some here today who God is drawing you closer. You know, the Bible says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. I believe that God is speaking to some of you today to enter into a greater level of relationship with him. Some of you really need to step it up. Some of you really need to take some time out of your daily routine and listen to the Lord and let him lead, God, and direct you. Now, if you're one of the people that God is speaking to, I want you to come up front as an act of faith to draw near to God and let him draw near to you. You're making a statement. You're saying, God, I want what you have. I'm putting aside everything and I'm letting your Holy Spirit lead, God, and direct me in the name of Jesus. You're a person who wants to seek after the things of God. You're a person who wants to grow in the knowledge of God. You're someone who wants a deeper relationship with God. And today, God is calling you to draw closer. He's calling you to come out of the boat and to walk on water. He's calling you to put yourself down and to put him first. God needs to be first in your life, not second, third, or fourth. And the things that you do in your life, you need to glorify him. He needs to get the glory out of the things that we do in life. Not nature, not ourselves, but God Almighty needs to receive the glory in our life. And it's such a privilege to be led by the Holy Spirit of God. God's going to give you ears to hear today. He's going to bear witness with your heart today. He's going to come in with power, authority, and love. I'll tell you what, you will discover so much awesome truth as you read the Word because you let the Holy Spirit lead, God, and direct you. Are you ready to receive today? If you're ready to receive, those of you that are up here, say, I'm ready to receive. Hallelujah. I'm just going to pray for you and anoint you. I believe, Father, we just thank you for releasing an anointing, Lord, to hear your voice in a greater way, to draw closer to you, to develop a more intimate, fuller, and rich relationship with you in Jesus' name. Father, right now, oh, I give you thanks.